Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Purdy Insurance is our sponsor on Monday. It is great to have Bob Buhner here.
Thank you, Steve. Good to see you in the Sunbury Motors Studio East.
Yes.
As opposed to Le Chateau.
Yes, at the Chateau, nicknamed aptly by Jack Ham, I might add. Was down there looking around at the studio, and he says, oh, my goodness, he says, you're broadcasting from the Chateau. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're making an appearance where tonight? The Edison?
Yeah, that's right, the Hotel Edison.
The Hotel Edison tonight. Kevin's playing the 7 o'clock show. Buhner and I will be there in complete support. We can't wait.
I'm just the opening act.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah, in a kind of opening act kind of way.
Yeah, sort of. 800-795-9565.
It's so nice to have you back.
Well, thanks, Kevin. All right.
Someday I may actually mean that.
You know, you don't want to come off mean on this show, Kevin.
No.
You already have enough issues to begin with.
Not mean. Sarcastic, maybe. Yeah. Not mean.
I think you're being a little bit mean here. I mean, Bob? Bob, you've been in many a courtroom. Would you classify his behavior as mean?
It's on this mean scale. He's at 6 going on 7.
And it's been nice to have Bob on the show every now and then. Unfortunately, his schedule does not allow him to return.
You know, this. So people know, this is the first time I've done the show with Steve right here in the same studio. Normally, we're sort of imagining where each other is.
It was one time. One time.
Oh, yes.
In the mobile studio before the Bucknell game.
No. The Penn State Michigan
basketball.
Yes.
Game. That's right. Penn State Michigan basketball.
The
game
huge upset, which I credit to my attendance there at the Bryce Jordan.
That's what it was.
I don't blame you for feeling that.
That was an awesome game, and we were there, did the show right from the. What we call that, the penthouse at the Bryce Jordan, without the food and snack bar, though. That's the one thing that was shocking to me. We go, you know, we have great seats. We're watching the game. We're getting ready to do the.
Right.
There is no food. Everybody else has Boku buckets of wings and shrimp and everything you can imagine. And where Steve is and his color analyst, there's just nothing. They didn't even have pretzels.
No, we did. We had nothing.
It was amazing.
And meanwhile, in the Shikellamy broadcast booth, it's catered.
Yes, it is.
No. Actually, that's Shemokin.
Every Friday night with halushki.
And
that's Shemokin.
Pierogies. Yes.
I've never had halushki.
Well, then you've really never.
You've never lived.
Never,
you've never
fully.
Lived in this area enough. Yeah.
Okay. Just hold on for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. I've lived plenty. Okay, so just so you know, Tiger Woods, I want to get to just one quick second. We've been talking about Penn State football, which we'll get back to here in a few moments. I want to get to coverage of sports for a moment. And this is something I've harped on before, but I'd like to talk about it again. In Connecticut, you can get some Boston stations. All right. And I mentioned how when they showed the highlights, I think it was Channel 7 out of Boston, they showed the highlights of the Eagles-Patriots game. I said, well, I wouldn't mind seeing a few of the highlights. What the heck? They were every single highlight was Tebow. Every pass, every sack. So he made some quarterback draw a run for like 12 yards or something like that. I sat there in complete amazement. This is the sixth largest market in the country.
And Tebow.
Listen, even when Tebow came into the game, my kid go, oh, it's Tebow time.
But I'm not done yet. I'm watching SportsCenter last night. Now we're headed down a slippery slope.
Can only imagine how much time they spent.
Jason Duffner wins the PGA Championship. The first thing they showed were Tiger shots. He finished 40th. Now, 40 in a world with 7 billion people, 40th at the PGA is darn good. Okay, but he, in the field he finished 40th. He finished. He was already on his private jet when Duffner was playing the back nine.
Yeah, he was out of there rather early. He was done like 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Same thing with Mickelson. Mickelson finished 72nd.
Yeah,
he finished at 12 over par. He shot 78 on Saturday. But the difference is they didn't sit there and show any of Mickelson's shots. They show Tiger's shots. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, look, I realize that star power is a draw to anything. Kevin mentioned opening act tonight. Well, opening acts over the years, okay, Tom Dreesen for Frank Sinatra. Sinatra was a star. Sure. He drew people in. It turned out that Dreesen made a nice career being the opening act. Tom Sullivan made a nice career being the opening act for Sinatra. So stars are important. That's why when we did that survey that was put together, what crew put that together, Kevin? Was it Yahoo that put that together on how many mentions of a name? And LeBron James was number one at 1,932, 600 more than Kobe Bryant, who was in second. This is for the year.
Yeah.
And there were six individuals that were mentioned over 1,000 times. Six total. It's a small number. I think there was only one NFL player that was in the top six. That was Peyton Manning. Kevin Durant was in there. Kobe Bryant was in there. Tiger Woods. So you had three NBA guys, James, Bryant, Durant. You had one NFL guy in Manning.
Yeah.
You had Woods. I'm trying to think who the other one was.
It wasn't Jason Duffner, I'd put it that way.
It was not Jason Duffner. Among the top six.
Dale Earnhardt or something, a NASCAR possibly?
No, it was not. It wasn't a NASCAR thing. And there was only one baseball player in the top 20. That was Josh Hamilton. And that was, in 2012, he went free agent.
Yes, he did.
So there's a lot of talk about where he might go.
What he's doing.
He was 17th. He was the only baseball player in the top. So I'm trying to think. It may have been Dwayne Wade. It may have been four NBA guys in the top six. Manning, mm-hmm. Tiger Woods, the other two. All right. So star power drives, and ESPN seems to feel strongly that star power drives what you want to watch. So I'm going to ask the two of you, and I'm going to ask the audience at 800-795-9565. And there's no doubt, I think the PGA drew a 4.4 rating. And there's no doubt that if Tiger's in contention, that probably is in the sixes. I think that's a safe commentary.
Oh, yeah. And if Mickelson's battling Woods, it's maybe even slightly higher.
Yeah, it's even higher.
Yep.
To have the two of them together. Because in covering the U.S. Open, Tiger had a huge gallery and a lot of people yelling, "Hey, Tiger, Tiger, Okay. But I really got the impression in being around them, because I walked the course. I wanted to get a feel for what was going on. I didn't want to just sit in the tent and wait for people to show up. And his crowd is more of he's the best golfer of our generation crowd. I have to watch him. Mickelson's crowd, they love him.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, they don't like Mickelson. No. They love Mickelson.
It's real adoration.
Yeah, it means like they have pinned all of their golfing hopes on every shot he takes. There's a completely different atmosphere between the two crowds. And part of it, too, is that Mickelson signs.
Yeah. And he's a nice guy, and it comes across.
Right. Some of the other pros over the years, Mick Foney and things like that. And then somebody finally said to one of them, and I'm not going to get into which name, they said, "Well, how many times do you go out and sign for the fans? And how long do you stand there when you do? Do you do it after every practice round? Do you do it after every round? I said, after all these years, the guy's not a phony if he's doing it every single time.
Right.
He's not perfect, but, Woods does none of this.
No, he...
I've related the story about the CVS tournament before. Brad Faxon and Billy Andrade. Turned out that the state of Rhode Island, as small as it is, had two pros at the same time in the PGA Tour. you know, two of the 160 foot carts. So they hooked up with the pharmacy CVS to have a charity golf tournament to benefit children's hospitals in New England. And it was done, you know, they're going to play at Rhode Island. I think they're going to play at the Newport Country Club or someplace like that.
Someplace, some nice place.
Yeah, someplace where Kevin has a membership.
And, right.
And
you mean he has a membership at CVS, don't you?
Little red card.
So they came up with an idea for a silent auction. And here, our idea was as follows. Let's see if we can get every living Masters champion to sign a golf ball. We'll put it all together in a package, and we'll silent auction it off. Well, they go through, right? Mickelson, Nicklaus, Palmer, Player. I mean, it doesn't matter. Gabe Brewer, Raymond Floyd.
Getting everybody.
Yeah, they're getting every, you know, they're getting everybody to do this, right? I mean, and I'm talking, everybody's just thrilled to do this. I mean, they're all happy about it. So they all sign a golf ball. I mean, you name it, they, you know, they sign it. Bernard Langer, Ballesteros.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Sandy Lyle. Okay, all these Masters champions. I mean, from the famous like Nicklaus to the obscure and a Bob Golby, for example.
That is obscure.
Okay, okay, but they all signed except for one guy.
Yeah.
Who didn't sign the golf ball?
Let me see. He's probably in Las Vegas for the weekend or something and didn't really have time to get a pen.
I mean, who didn't sign the Woods? Is the one?
Yeah.
They couldn't get Woods to sign the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a signature on a ball.
Yeah.
To benefit children.
It doesn't take any effort.
Okay. A fellow professional, a peer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Needs help for his charity. You can't help a peer with your charity?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? And you know, and but he's still the best player of this generation. I've always been one that has maintained the entire time and have never once wavered that he would never break Nicklaus's record. This is before the stall, even. I've never thought he would break Nicklaus's record because I just thought it was too hard to break.
Well, you know, though, it was pointed out somewhere today that at this point in Woods' career versus Nicklaus's career, they've both been in 64 of the big tournaments.
Majors, yeah.
The majors.
Right.
They're both, at that point in time, have 14 wins.
Right. Well, it was actually on this date in 1973 that Nicklaus won his 14th.
Okay.
Which broke Bobby Jones's record.
Yes.
So Nicklaus has had it since this day in 1973. Amazing thing about Nicklaus is that after the age of 40, he won a U.S. Open, a PGA, and that was in 1980, and then 6 years later, won the Masters. This guy ain't going to do it.
No.
I mean, and it's no offense to him. It has nothing to do with any of these. The quality of the field is good. A guy like Jason Duffner, everybody knew he'd break through.
Eventually.
And Adam Scott has the game where everybody knew he'd break through. Justin Rose, people have been waiting for a long time for him to break through. And Mickelson is one of the top 15 players in the history of the game.
Absolutely.
And I think saying top 15 is a safe number to put on him. When you're talking about the Saracens, the Palmers, the yeah, I mean, there's a certain group.
Mickelson is, when he's really on, boy, is he on. And so when he is off for
right,
a round.
Sure. No question about it. But he's in a class now of three major championships in his career. That class includes Arnold Palmer.
Yep. It's a small group.
Palmer never won the PGA. Tom Watson, he never won the PGA. Lee Trevino, who could never win the Masters.
That's right.
It led to the point where he stopped playing the Masters because he says, I can't play this course. Let's see, who else is in the three category? I mean, it's a very small group. Byron Nelson.
Well, that goes back, but yeah.
I believe Ben Hogan. Ben Hogan did not win the PGA Championship.
And that is a small crew.
Yeah.
That's a handful.
It's a handful of people. There are only five that have won all four.
And you know that his round, meaning Mickelson's round at the British Open, was one for the record books or the decades. It was one of the greatest rounds of golf that was ever played when he came back to win that thing.
Oh, I know.
It was just phenomenal.
Sure, it's phenomenal. It's what the game needs. But I've always maintained that Woods would never break the record. Why? Because of the difficulty in doing it.
Oh, it's
that's the reason why. Nicklaus finished second in majors 19 times. That's mind-boggling. 19 times. So, in other words, 37 majors
yes.
in his career, he finished first or second.
That is stunning.
I mean, that's how good he was.
Yes.
And he came along at a time where Arnold Palmer was the king.
Yep.
And Nicklaus was not very well liked early in his career, and not because of his personality.
No.
He was the rich kid from the country club. His father, of course, of the club. You know, Arnie was the, you know, his dad had the tractor out at the Latrobe Country Club, and his, Arnold Palmer's father always told him, he said, look, you can play here at Latrobe, but you have to pay. And he could have had free rounds. He could have. He said, but you'll have to pay. He said, simple as that. You have to pay your way through life. And that's one of the reasons when you look at the documentary that was done on Hogan, Nicklaus, and Palmer. Palmer didn't like Hogan. You want to know why? Because they went out and played a practice round at Augusta National. And Palmer was just a kid. I think he was 18 years old at the time. I'm not sure the reason he got in. He may have won an amateur championship somewhere, whatever the reason it happened to be. And he shot 85. Okay. And Hogan, it's a practice round. And Hogan made a comment about, you know, I don't want him playing with us again. All right. Yeah. And it always bothered me whenever I watched, for example, when they had the Colonial, which was his home course, where the people today still refer to him as Mr. Hogan. And that bothers me. Okay. I always referred to everybody in my neighborhood growing up as Mr.
Sure.
Mr. or Mrs., whatever.
Always did. That was our, that's our generation.
Right. Always did. But there does come a point, okay, where you look at somebody, and that's Kevin, you're Bob,
right.
I'm Steve, where everybody pulls them on one leg at a time. Everybody does.
Yeah.
And it's one of the, like I said, Palmer didn't really get along well with Hogan. I mean, I didn't get that he get along with it, but it's like, you know, he put him down. Now,
yeah.
Why do you put him down?
Well, there was.
I mean, you notice the respect that Nicklaus has and Palmer have for each other today.
It's awesome. It's amazing. Arnie was an everyman, and you know, I watched Jason Duffner yesterday come up the 18th hole. He actually looked a bit uncomfortable. He's been compared to like the NASCAR guy in the PGA.
That's because he needed to re-dip. That was the problem. It was starting to get lose its flavor.
Well, but it's more than that. It's the kind of the.
Well, he's a new clean. I like to say cleaned up version of John Daly.
Oh, I hope
every
not.
Yeah
Who,
no,
Duffner?
No, but he's every average guy on a golf course. That's what I meant. That's
maybe the appearances.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He looks like every average guy on the golf course. You know, he's kind of got that, you know, the hair that's kind of all over outside the hat. He's got the little, you know, the dip between the cheek and gum. I mean, it's just he looks like average, and it's against everything that golf has been before.
Yeah, except he has the ball about a foot from the cup.
Well, but I'm not saying he's not.
Yu Darvish has a no-hitter through seven against the Astros.
I think that just went away seconds
ago. I was going to say, if you throw a no-hitter against the Astros, does it count?
No.
800-795-9565 is our number. I'd like to jump in on the conversation. Love to hear from you. But again, coverage. Hey, a third-string quarterback and a guy that finishes 40th in a golf tournament are the headliners. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2006 Ford Explorer 4-liter XLT with new rotors and new brake lining, just $11,499. 2011 Ford Fiesta 4-door sedan, $12,494. 2005 Dodge Dakota 4-door quad cab, $12,994. 2007 Lincoln MKZ 4-wheel drive sedan, $12,995.
2006 Pontiac Solstice, two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. And a 2010 Honda Odyssey, five-door EXL. Call for price, 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
She's gone! She's gone! Oh, what went wrong?
Was that about
great bumper music, but I'm not sure what it had to do with sports.
Well that's because Darvish lost the home run.
Oh,
or lost the no-hitter and the
it's gone.
Yeah.
We didn't get to set that one up very well, Steve.
You guys chat too much during the commercial breaks, but yeah, he lost it on a home run to right.
All right.
Should we apologize for enjoying each other's company?
Yeah, we're having a what do I want to say about that? I was on the edge of my seat waiting for that home run to be hit, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's against the Astros, so it doesn't really count.
No, that's the AAA record book.
Yeah. So. Unless you have your own room, I noticed that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment because whatever I say, you're going to turn against me.
It's so easy, though.
I'll tell you right now, I thought as time went, it would get more difficult.
No.
It's actually gotten easier. It's great to be here. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on this Monday. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Looking forward to being with our group tonight at the Edison Hotel. Kevin will be the warm-up act. Probably will eat up maybe an hour and 15 minutes worth. I'll do my usual presentation in a condensed form.
I have never heard you in a condensed form, ever.
Well, the gauntlet's been laid down, I guess.
I hope they have free beverages.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones. Yes.
When the man says your name with the deep voice, then you start talking. I know you've had a week off and you're out of practice.
Now, Buhner and I were making a point off the air.
Yes.
Just, I know you need some time to get back into it.
Steve, if you'd like me to warm up the house at the Hotel Edison for you tonight, I can probably get him in a rather excited and energetic mood for your presentation.
If it means a change for the positive, I'm all for it.
Hey, one quick thing to pick Steve's baseball brain for a second. Pirates out in Colorado over the weekend, lost all three, found every conceivable way to lose it. Mm-hmm. We know what's happened the last two Augusts to the Pirates. Is this the third August in a row?
No, because this is just a typical slump. There are no great teams in baseball right now. No great teams. You know, the teams, the Yankees of the 90s, the Red Sox of the 2000s, I mean, you know, the Cardinals even, there are no great teams. In fact, if I were to put on the table the team I think that's closest to being a great team, it would actually be the Detroit Tigers. They're the closest I can come up with.
Yeah, when you're the best record in baseball and you're only at 600.
Right. So, in an era right now where there are no great teams, but some really good ones. I mean, who are the really good ones? Detroit, the Red Sox, Tampa Bay, Oakland, Texas,
yeah.
Dodgers, okay?
They have been the last couple months.
Pirates, Cardinals, Braves. I named nine teams. Those are the really good teams. Some of those will not make the playoffs because, But that is, he writes me a note, Duffner's the Walt Garrison of golf. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I thought that was really good, though. But
hold
no.
On, hold
no.
on. Hold on a second here. If I do that and I do this. Oh, good. It does delete.
Hi, yeah. Right, I'm Walt Garrison.
Yeah, I know. You blocked for Dwayne Thomas. What a moment. But when you look at baseball, there are no great teams right now. The Pirates are not going to be in any kind of prolonged slump. Their pitching's too good.
Mm-hmm.
My question about the Pirates has always been simple and as follows. Their starters don't go deep enough into the game, and they have more of an issue in terms of, as the season goes, how tired does the bullpen get? Because they don't have enough offense to compensate for it. I believe they have scored 7 more runs than the Astros this year. I believe that's the number. They've scored 7 more runs than the Astros. So they lose 3 in Colorado, so what? I mean, I don't think that's any big deal that happened, because it's happened to everybody. The Red Sox just lost 3 out of 4 in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Now, is Kansas City better than Colorado? Probably. But, you know, and in terms of injuries, I heard Marte's banged up.
Got hit by a pitch Friday night. Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah.
Wandy Rodriguez, of course. And I looked at them. I said, excuse me. I said, Pirate fans, I said, excuse me. They aren't the only team. The Braves at one point lost their entire outfield. And Tim Hudson, who would be the ace of your staff, is out for the year with a broken ankle. Okay? The Red Sox. Joel Hanrahan, gone. Bailey, next closer, gone. So they're out of now. They've already run through 2 closers, so they're both gone. And Clay Buchholz, who again would be the ace of your staff, okay, hasn't pitched in a month and a half. You know, so, I mean, everybody has injuries. Everybody does. So it tests the depth of your organization. But the Pirates will make the playoffs. The question is going to be now as to whether they have to play the 1-game playoff, or whether they have to, or they win the division and they get that bye into the next round. And speaking of the team that that's chasing them, the Cardinals, they've lost Yadier Molina.
The great catcher.
You know, so, I mean, everybody has injuries. And again, there are no great teams right now. If you were to ask me today which 2 teams I thought would be in the World Series on this day, so was it August the 12th? I would say Detroit and the Dodgers. They both have power pitching. Now, power pitching is very important in postseason play. Why have the Braves, you know, the Braves had that great run. Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz. Who was the best postseason pitcher of the 3? Okay, Kevin's guessing as to whether.
I'm going to say Glavin, but.
No, Smoltz.
Smoltz? Okay, John Smoltz.
I was going to say Maddox. So.
No, Smoltz. Maddox's postseason record's not very good. Smoltz, and you want to know why the reason? It's power pitcher. Okay? When you pitch to contact, that works for a certain period of time. But there's a reason, for example. I'll give you an example. 2004, okay? You want to know why the Red Sox were ultra-confident going into the World Series as opposed to the ALCS? Because they went through and they looked at the roster of pitchers for the Cardinals, and they're all contact pitchers, no power pitchers. Right? With that offense, they knew they were going to, you know, that they were going to get their bat on the ball and they're going to kill them. Well, they never trailed once in the World Series. They didn't trail one time. Okay? You need to have a quality power pitcher or pitchers. If you have 2 of them, you're in great shape. When Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling did it in tandem for Arizona, they beat the Yankees, and they won 3 of the 4 games. Okay, power pitchers. That makes a difference at that time of the year, that you can blow a fastball by a guy when you need it. Okay, if you're a contact pitcher pitching to contact, too many things can happen, especially because as you advance, you're facing better teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? That's the concept of the playoffs. You're facing better teams. Well, because you're facing better teams, that means they have better hitters and better pitchers. Well, when you're a contact and you have to face them every time, that's why the Braves, they won once, and it's hard to win one. So let's not say only. I'm not going to use the word only. But one of the reasons they did not get multiples is that despite the quality of Glavin and the quality of Maddox, they had too many contact pitchers in their rotation and only one power guy. It's not a coincidence that Smoltz. It's not a coincidence that Smoltz was the best postseason pitcher they had. He was the power pitcher of the three. Verlander is that power pitcher. Scherzer is a power pitcher. I mean, they're both up in the upper 90s. They have two of those guys. Two of them. Now you get to the Dodgers. I mean, look at the Dodgers pitching. I mean, this is not a lollipop group. That's why on this date, on August 12th, I would say that those would be the two teams.
Since we have our PSAC expert in the house in Buehner.
Yes.
Oh, good.
It's yes.
Good.
Okay.
Bob, I want
to get a drink of water.
Yeah.
I want your thoughts on Bloom University being picked number two in the preseason poll behind Shippensburg.
That's because Shippensburg is returning a quarterback who beat them twice last year.
That's correct.
One time in a wild one, like 45-44, and then in the NCAA playoffs at Shippensburg, in the second half, he showed up, and it was a rout. And going against Bloomsburg's vaunted rushing attack, Franklin Quiete and Eddie somebody from the Bethlehem area, whose last name escapes me, Eddie Mateo. This guy... not a big guy. He's a Doug Flutie. All he does is throw the ball and win games. So I think the fact that they're bringing back the player of the year in the conference. The trouble for Shippensburg is, Kevin, is that the offensive coordinator for Shippensburg, who really designed this kind of, again, this kind of Chip Kelly, Oregon, yeah. Philadelphia offense, he's now at Oklahoma State as the offensive coordinator. So... Shippensburg is a good team. I think the other reason is that the great legend in Division II football, Danny Hale, retired at the end of last season. Paul Darrow is going to be in his the first season as head coach.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I wonder how much of that had to do with the only one first-place vote. I mean, I think they have five starters on offense, six coming back on defense.
Yeah.
They're really not changing anything. The coaching staff really isn't that much different.
No, the coaching staff is really not different at Bloomsburg. They moved, you know, somebody up to be offensive coordinator to replace Darrow as the head coach. But other than that, no, I think – oh, and I'll tell you this much. October 31st, Halloween night, Bloomsburg and Shippensburg play on national television. It's a Thursday
very
night.
Nice.
And so I think that 1-2 combination of, you know, being picked is just to set the stage for that nationally televised game.
Sure.
So we're all looking for that one. Can you imagine Halloween night? In a college town like Bloomsburg or Shippensburg, national television, who's going to show up at that game? It'll be Night of the Living Dead, among other things.
Wow.
it'll be a freak show.
By the way, let's give you a guest list for the next few days. Rob Cooper, who's the new baseball coach at Penn State, will be our guest tomorrow on the show. We will then later in the week have John Marks from Philadelphia talking about the Eagles and how the Eagles camp is going so far. So we'll have John Marks from Philadelphia. And then we'll have Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com on the show as we talk about the Big Ten.
Some really good names there to start. Keep us
Wow, going. A thumbs up from Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin's like, huh? That's
well great. Done. By the way, the Shippensburg game is at Bloomsburg.
Okay, and I can tell you
so
that.
So you can get your tickets now, Bob.
Yes.
Your water cooler is filled with gin. did you guys know that?
Yeah. Obviously, Mark Lawrence was here earlier and
we had no idea.
That explains the raucous Friday get-together with Reichley.
There you
yeah.
go.
They started early on the mark.
A raucous open line.
Hey, a quick question, Penn State question, has nothing to do with football. How's that ice hockey arena coming along? And when is the open skating? That's what I want to know. I want to see Kevin on skates.
Well, they have to get liability insurance.
Listen, they couldn't even get it down at the Sunbury ice rink. It ain't happening out there.
It looks great. I mean, they're putting the finishing touches on it now. But I drove by, Pat. I was just outside of it. It looked great. Oh, by the way, we're also going to have on some guests from Belgium later this week as well.
Oh,
basketball.
Oh,
Yeah, we're gonna have some of the basketball people on from Belgium on the Penn State Foreign Tour. We're gonna have that on.
Are they coming here and playing across the U.S. or is Penn State going to Belgium?
Penn State's in Belgium.
Okay.
Playing four games. I think Chambers. I think was able to get a book on Flemish. Can you see that book now? Flemish for Dummies. You're like, what the hell's Flemish? Yeah, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment. Boy, you get an intense look on your face during this show.
I'm reading a story about Rex Ryan, and you know how much I love Rex Ryan.
You know, we're doing the show over here, you know.
Yeah, no, you guys are doing the show. I'm just sitting here hitting the buttons today.
I mean, you know, we're over here.
I'm not used to looking at you, so it's not a big deal for
me. You can join the party if you wish.
Really? I'm allowed?
Just stay on the board.
I think I'll just hit the button here.
Buter and Reichle's in the house.
Oh, brother.
Hey, I'm here for my appearance fee. If I'm here for 5 minutes or 50 minutes, it's still the same check.
You'll get nothing.
And
you got
like it.
You already got it for the 90 minutes this morning I had to spend with you.
And like it.
Kevin, I told the guys in here, I don't think you've moved all day.
I don't think I have either, come to think of it.
Ben, that's a decade-old thing.
Steve, I have walked in your moccasins.
Well, you know what? You mentioned it before the break. I was reading a Rex Ryan quote, and you know how big of a fan of Rex Ryan I am.
Of pedicures or of what?
Uh-oh.
Well, Rex is actually defending his quarterback. Geno Smith, or what could be his quarterback, Geno was getting ripped by West Virginia over the weekend about how he wasn't really a leader. You know, they didn't have any leadership on that offense. It may not have been directed at him, but more or less was. And then Rex defends him like I think he should. But then he follows up with, but it tells me that I'm glad my kid never went there. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, Steve, looking at the NCAA, in your lifetime, do you envision athletes being paid?
Yes, I do.
Okay, it's coming.
I envision stipends. How about that?
That's
okay. Stipends mm-hmm. as opposed to being paid. The question is, we're in a Title IX world.
Yes, we are.
And I mention that because you cannot just look at a football player or a men's basketball player, the two revenue-producing sports, and say, well, we're only going to give them a stipend. You have to give the softball player a stipend, mm-hmm. too. You have to give the field hockey player a stipend. He's texting. I mean, the show's over here, you know.
I'm just wondering if Ben's actually listening to the show at all or not.
No, I am, but I just wanted to get that in because I wanted to get off of Rex Ryan.
But Ben wanted to go to something more interesting. I mean,
you can't ask him that when the show's over.
No, but I think it's a great time. I think it'll happen. Now, I'm against it. I think a little bit of spending money, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little. But, you know, I mean, this week I'm paying a tuition.
Yep.
Okay, I'm paying one tuition at Penn State, and in which my daughter also took out loans, and I'm paying one at Lock Haven, and my son took out loans. Okay? You're telling me that a full scholarship isn't payment?
That's a lot
of bananas. Yep.
I mean, that's a lot of money. As I've always pointed out, ask the Kaisers down in Selins Grove mm-hmm. How different their life became the second Ryan was on scholarship at Penn State.
No, the nanosecond.
But it's going to happen because there's too much movement in that direction right now. All the tea leaves show that it's not just a question that it will happen, but now it's how much will it be?
Okay, it's going to happen. A concern I have is, it is the end of the show. It's too bad. Is how, as the federal government, the NCAA, in my mind, has such incompetence. Mm-hmm. How could they ever enforce something that would be doable in the real world? Or how could they oversee or implement?
Well, they're going to make the schools do it.
Well, they'll make the schools individually do it, which, of course, means they have to do their own accounting. And some places will be far more clever than others mm-hmm. when it comes to it. But you're right. When it comes to competence, these are not the people that you want entrusted to it. But it's probably going to happen. There's too much movement in that direction. That's why you've seen all the conference realignment that you've seen and why it's been pared down the way it's been. People have been critical of conference realignment. A big reason is you need cash. Rutgers made the move to the Big Ten because suddenly they're going to make money. But it's all about money. Excuse me. In an idealistic world, okay, let's do ideology here. Title IX is great in ideology, correct?
Yep.
And we all agree Title IX is in ideology is great. Mm-hmm. Now let's be realistic about it. How do you pay for it? You have to pay for it. Because that's the real world. Yep. Well, suddenly when Maryland drops seven sports, should they stay in the ACC and keep dropping sports in order to
be in the ACC?
To hang in there?
Because of history.
Or when you get an invite to the Big Ten and they tell you that the next contract in 2017 potentially has between $40 and $45 million per year, and you know your top-out number in the ACC is going to be $22 million in 2017. What's your choice, then, as a business person? You know, Rutgers was easy. I mean, the Big East is so incredibly poorly run in terms of a business part of it because it's a league and it's not a conference. Mm-hmm. You know, they're too spread out.
Yeah.
And that's why the Catholic Seven broke away. But this conference realignment has been, look, there are three places you need to be, the SEC, the Pac-12, the Big Ten. Yep. Have you noticed nobody's left? I mean, it's like being a resident of Nogales in Arizona. You don't say bye bye United States. I'm going to Mexico. Okay, they all come to your place.
Well, take a school like Colorado. They have found gold in the big
Colorado and Utah both found gold by going there. No question. Arkansas years ago found it by going to the SEC. They're not going to go back anywhere else.
No.
They're not going to leave the Big Ten. Nebraska gets sick of the Texas deal. Texas financially makes more money out of every deal in the Big 12 than anybody else.
Everything's big in Texas, right? including what they want.
Including the cut that they get.
Yep.
Okay? They go to the Big 10. Suddenly Nebraska's solvent. Okay? Because of the television deals. Because of the Big 10 network. And when people complain, money runs it. But guess what? Money supports your ideology.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, if somebody looks at you and says, money runs the thing. And I always look at them and I said, okay, are you a firm believer in Title IX? Absolutely, I look at them and, okay, how do you pay for it?
Exactly. Economics.
Okay?
Economics.
It's a simple business decision that these people are making to move into the power conferences because that's where the television money is going to be, which then allows them to keep all their sports solvent and not drop sports. There are 124 men's gymnastics programs 20 years ago.